In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I think that I see. What are you doing? These are familiar faces. This is my first time with this group. I come here, I think, once a year, right? It's a great honor. And I'm seeing you are very. Very good group. You're taking a quiz every week?
Yeah.
Sons Mary is one of the very good servants that I have met in my life. She's been calling me and texting me, reminding me. She's very dedicated. I wish every servant would have such talents, to be honest with you. And I wish you have the same thing. Because when we take service lightly, to be honest, it's not what God needs. He wants people to be dedicated and to be hot servant, heated servant. Like who? Who was a heated servant? Do you remember? Huh? Yeah. St. Paul. He was a very heated, like a lot of fire inside him. That's a great thing. All right, we're talking tonight about the sacrament of baptism. And this is just an overview, because I think we have about, 40 minutes or less?
45 minutes.
Okay. You finish before 12?
Yeah.
You do or not?
Probably roughly.
Okay. All right, we're going to just have a quick overview about the sacrament of baptism. Before we go on, I think we need to read this. Somebody who reads out loud. It's John 3, and it talks clearly about baptism. And I need somebody to read it. Please, yes, go ahead.
There was a man of the Pharisees and Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that is which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most surely I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?
Thank you.
Jennifer,
thanks. John 3 is a discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus, which he was a teacher of the law. And if you saw, it was, he told him that no one can be saved. These two verses were said. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. He didn't understand this. So he repeated again in 5 and said, Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. And pay attention, water and Spirit? No. It's water and the Spirit. The Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, this verse repeated twice, but in two different ways. One, born again. How can a person be born again? So he clarified this and said, born again from water and the Spirit. Cannot see, cannot enter. One is seen, and the other is enter. That tells us that baptism is essential in a person's life, in a person to enter. I'm not talking about a Christian person. I'm talking about any Christian, any person cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless he or she is born again. It's an entrance. Without it, cannot get into heaven. Without it, cannot even see heaven. So this is crucial and essential. And in Mark 16:16, easy to remember, he who is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. In Arabic, من آمن واعتمد خالص ومن لم يؤمن يدن. Condemned. He is baptized, believe and baptize. Baptism is after belief. If a person does not believe, cannot be baptized. And there is other things that I wanted to talk about, but not right now. What if a person is being baptized without belief? For any such reason. Do we have this in our today's world? Yes, we do. For which reason? Since marriage, very good. So what happens for this person? A person comes and says, I need to be baptized. Why? Because I wanted to marry with this woman, with this girl, with this boy. So what I want to do? Well, he tries to make sure that his or her belief is correct, understand that they really want to be baptized, and then he baptized, I want to baptize that person. But the father said, if they do not believe really, and it's just any kind of water, as I remember somebody was telling me, he wanted to get baptized to marry a woman, and I asked him, would you mind to be baptized? He said, no, it's okay. It's a shower. No, it's not a shower. Huh? The father said, this water will be nothing to them. You know what I mean? Because a person can deceive us, but no one can deceive God. So it's not a something, because if a woman says, okay, I'm going to just baptize and get married, it's not that easy. We can deceive each other, but for God, his eyes can see the inside. So out of this light, you find out baptism is essential and crucial. Not just essential, but it's crucial, because without it, no one can get into heaven. And without it, a person can be condemned. If a person does not believe, nor baptized, will be condemned. We find more about it in the upcoming slides. When baptism was instituted, well, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted this sacrament, and other sacraments as well, when he was baptized by John the Baptist. You remember when Jesus went and he wanted to be baptized from John, John told him, I can't baptize you. And he said, you will have to baptize me. In order to what? To fulfill? Huh? Remember? Huh? Prophecy. The prophecies, the righteous. Yeah. The coming Kulibir. Righteous. And then when he baptized him, while he was coming out of water, what happened? Three things. Do you remember? Three things happened. One. Adav came down. Two.
A voice from
heaven. Three.
Jesus himself
in the water. So Jesus is the Son of God, is the Word, is the second hypostasis. Voice from heaven is the first hypostasis, saying, this is my beloved son, And the dove represents the Holy Spirit, which is the third hypostasis. So there were some baptisms before Jesus' baptism. Yes, there were. There were many. But when Jesus himself was baptized from John the Baptist, now he instituted the sacrament of baptism. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, it anointed Jesus Christ. And that's what will happen when you and I, myself, everyone here, will receive baptism and the Holy Chrism together. We're going to talk a little bit about this, yes.
Oh, that's a good question. It's not possible, so I'm going to have to answer it now. Because in the first centuries, there was some discussions, but, and up till now, as you know, the Catholic Church does not baptize babies. They have, I think, third year. And they have even first communion at 12 and stuff like that. But for us, we say, what if a baby dies? Who is going to be responsible for his or her blood? He's not going to, they cannot see into heaven. So we can't take that responsibility. We have to baptize them. That's one. So, secondly, if you don't baptize a baby or a person, as we're going to see, it's the entrance to the church and all the sacraments. So if a person is not baptized, he or she cannot take communion, cannot be anointed with the sacrament of the unction of sick, if he or she gets sick, and so forth. So there is privileges we're going to take away from those babies. So it's better off for us to give them the privilege, and then it's their responsibility afterwards to decide to continue on this, or should they say, we'll change that path. It's up to them, alright? So that's, as an Orthodox Church, we decided to do this from the very first ages, early ages, to give them that privilege, alright? Yes.
Wait, why does Catholics leave, the role of the water on the baby, and you just put it in the water?
We're going to talk about this. Sure. But Catholics do have immersion. I think so.
Have what?
Immersion? Yeah, they have that. But other sects do not believe, just by sprinkling of water.
Christ assured confession, baptism after his resurrection, he said that to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this is the last chapter in Matthew. So if he says so, that means he instituted baptism, and it's essential, it's crucial, and it cannot be skipped. It's crucial, and Christ himself instituted baptism. What does baptism do? Many things. We're going to just talk about a few, not everything. First, it grants us a new birth. Sacrament of baptism has the first rank among the other holy sacraments, as I was just saying. It's the door by which the believer enters into the church and has the right to partake in the rest of the sacraments. As I was telling Jennifer, what's her name?
Rita.
If we don't baptize the baby cannot take communion. If the baby gets sick, we cannot anoint him or her with the unction of the sick, because unction of the sick is one of the seven sacraments, alright? Do you know them all, right? You know all the seven sacraments, alright? I do have some people, parents come and say, my daughter wants to confess, and I look at the daughter, is just 6 or 7 years old. So they participate even at this young age in confession. Of course, no one can get married in the church unless both are Orthodox. They are both, and even in the family of the Oriental Orthodox, you know that, right? Oriental is just a group of six churches. the other group called Eastern churches, about 15 churches, like Russian, Greek, and so forth. And those are 15 churches, but the Oriental, which our churches, sister churches, us, Armenian, Ethiopian, Eritrean, Syrian, Indian. These are the Oriental churches. But other of the 15 churches, there is a lot of agreement between both of us, but we cannot participate in their communion yet. Not full communion yet. So, baptism grants new birth. Baptism is the holy sacrament by which are born again by being immersed in water three times in the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is based on what Christ have told them. Go baptize to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. We baptize. I baptize you, Gerges, Benob, Mina, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, based on the instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ have given to us. Without baptism, as I said, you cannot take anything from church. And that's what we say in liturgy, was incarnate and became man. Man. And taught us the ways of salvation. He granted us the birth from on high. On high is from above, through water and spirit. And these ways of salvation, which the church offer, a person who is not baptized cannot participate in them. So that's why we say best off is that we have to baptize a person while he or she is just a baby. Give them all the privileges. Give them all the tools. Give them all the ways of salvation that they may be able to participate and to take all the blessings that the church as a mother gives to the people, to her people and to her children. Let's take a look at three things: baptism, church, and heaven. Well, baptism is a born. We all were born. We were born from our mothers. Natural birth is involuntarily on the part of a person. We were born without knowing. We were not there to decide. With the new birth of baptism, it's a matter of a choice and knowledge, and is associated with repentance. So a person who comes to church say, I need to be baptized, I'm talking about adult person. We have to ask, I was telling Rita, a person has to know, to understand what our faith is, to accept this faith, to say, I do need to participate with you, and I'm willing to live the rest of my life in repentance and according to the church. So it has to be associated with one, knowledge, two, repentance. Of course, three is acceptance. Because one time I remember I was in a hospital and I met with somebody in the elevator coming down. And he looked at me from up to bottom and said, and what kind of priest you are? And I was like, I'm a Coptic priest. He said, and how is this different than us? I was like, and who are you? He said, I'm Catholic. So I started to tell him, well, I am a married priest. So I told him, we believe in the sacraments. And he said, we do. I started to tell him some differences. But at the end, I told him, we do not believe in purgatory. Once I said this, it was like a fire. Excuse me? What are you saying? And he left me and and they want to even continue to discuss. So that's why I say, it's knowledge and has to be what? Accepted. It has to be accepted. Alright. When we talk about baptism and heaven, baptism is an exiting door and also it's an entrance door. Anyone who is not baptized, in our belief, we can't say that to people, but that should be our belief, because anyone who is not in light have to be worried. In darkness. There is no other third way. So anyone who is not baptized, basically, is not within the kingdom of God, who is in earth. He is part of the other kingdom. And there are not too many kingdoms. It's just two kingdoms. So if a person is not in a kingdom of God, he's in the other kingdom, which is the kingdom of? There is no others. How can I prove this? Before, we're going to go through the ritual of the baptism, but we have to do something, it's called what? Renouncing the devil. Renouncing Satan before we leave his kingdom, we have to renounce and say, I do not accept you. We're going to see this in a few slides now. So it's an exiting. And also, when I exit, I have to enter. Where am I entering? I'm entering two things. One, I'm entering the church with all its rituals and the ways of salvation, as we said. Two, we're entering into the holy and the heavenly life. Now, I cannot be a holy person. I cannot participate with the heavenly saints. Do you know some of people here, like your grandparents, had some relationship with some of the saints? Do you believe so? Yes, you do. Whether you do, you know or you don't. Some of your grandparents, I don't know which ones, some of my grandparents, which I don't know, they had some good relationship with the saints, right? For example, Pope Carolus had a very good relationship with who? Who is Pope Carolus? He related to people or he didn't? Of course he did. All the other saints. And Bob Ram related to some people. Of course he did. Our grandparents somehow had this relationship. And I do tell you, out of priesthood life, I do find people in confessions come and tell me such beautiful things. Sometimes they come and say, we had very good relationship with Pope Carolus. I don't know why he's mad about me now. He doesn't come to me as he used to be. So, as I said, you're entering a holy and heavenly life. You're able, through baptism, to enter this. Before this, there is no way. You get the point? Alright. As one of the saints said, no salvation outside of the church. Remember who we're going to take a quick look after. I don't want to take a lot of time. Okay. Second thing, what we take from baptism, forgiveness of past sins. Now we're talking about an adult person who's coming to receive baptism. So can anyone read this text?
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them.
Do you remember when was that happened? St. Peter, in Acts 2, when he delivered his sermon, remember? 3,000 people were baptized. But pay attention to this. Be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. These are all were adults. So if you're baptized, you will receive the remission of sins. Any past sins will be forgiven. And also pay it. Yes. Sorry. You have a question?
Oh yeah, I was going to ask about that after that, and you should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
True. I was going to. Very good. Good catch. No one can really receive the Holy Spirit as a gift unless he or she is baptized. The Holy Spirit may work with some people who are not baptized just to give them the push. You understand? Just the push. But to dwell in a person, no. To dwell in a person like yourselves, you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit, what? Dwells in you. You do. You have to understand this. Why don't we feel it? Probably because we don't work with it. We don't interact with the Holy Spirit as we should. I was just thinking upon my coming, and lots of cars now have GPSs, right? But do you have, once you turn the car, do you have to follow the GPS? Like, when you turn on the car, would it tell you, go there, even if you don't put it on, or it will not. You have to turn it on, to tell this GPS to do something, right? So, basically, it's the same thing, in a way. We do have the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we don't work with the Holy Spirit as we should. For this, it doesn't mean as you know, we're going to go over this, but not in depth, because I think you do have another session just for Chrism, for the Mairun. Yeah, I'm not going to touch on the Mairun a lot. So basically, it's two steps. It's two different sacraments. The sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Holy Spirit, Mairun. But what does this say? When you're baptized, you're going to receive the remission of sins, and now you are able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? You will be able to get that. It's not just a magic. It's not magic. It's something. It's this steps. Huh? As when in the book of Acts also it said, believe and baptize. If you do not, remember this? It says here, he was baptized with this. In Arabic, is a little bit, it's a little different. Man aman wa'tamad khabus. He who believes and baptized is saved, and who is not, who does not believe, is condemned. Which means who's not, does not believe or condemned. Okay. Let's go here. What else we have? Baptism is a reborn. Some of the things that happened very old, in the very old days, it was pointing out nature is corrupted. Nature is sinful. There has to be a reborn. Remember the flood? The flood meant all people at this time were sinful. And God said, this whole earth is sinful now. I have to do something. There has to be a reborn. So he said, I will send the flood out. Everybody will die except for a few people. Who are these few people? Is a reborn. Can you read this verse, please, for me?
Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water.
See? Eight souls were saved through water. It's a reborn. So, after all these people, hundreds or thousands or millions at that time, just the eight people came as a reborn. Baptism is a reborn. We dip a person, we bring up a new person. Well, it doesn't, the shape is the same. The shape is exactly the same. No change. But the inner person is changed. This person now takes a new ability, a new ability. It's a newborn. As St. Peter said, eight souls were saved through water. So this is thousands of years before Christ came, but it was just referring to the New Testament, where the church would be baptizing people to be saved. The crossing of the Red Sea, Exodus 14, it was a baptism. Many people were bad. Pharaoh and his kingdom represent the devil and his kingdom. But when they crossed the Red Sea, that was crossing meant to be a new life. From one life to another life. From a physically born to a newborn. Can you read something? Can you read this, please? Moreover?
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Look at this. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Referring to the baptism of the New Testament. So these are just a couple of examples of where baptism resided in the Old Testament. Okay? What baptism is? You can, many things. As I said, it's a restoration. Corrupted nature, you have to, nature, you have to restore it. You have to give it a new ability. You restore the nature from a corrupted nature to a new nature. It's a renewal. As I said, the person comes up the same exact person from outside, but the inside now is a new person. Is born again from heaven. This person is renewed. How? It's the ability of the Holy Spirit into this water. The water looks exactly similar to any other water. It's exactly. But this is the ability of the Holy Spirit working in material things. We cannot underestimate things. Our own eyes cannot see what beyond our eyes. You understand that, right? For example, we understand in this room there are some germs for sure, right? We can't see them. We don't have the ability. We don't have the ability. But there are eyes can see this clearly. I remember one of the stories. I would like to rely a lot of the stories, but one of the stories about the person who denied Jesus Christ. Remember that story probably. And this person died. And back, even nowadays in Egypt, they have somebody is in the cemetery, lives there. Him and his family and stuff. And in the middle of the night, he heard a lot of screaming coming out of one of the tombs. So he went there and he was terrified. And he saw a scene that, and wrote about, he saw Saint Mary there at that tomb, and she was there and sent somebody, poured a lot of water onto the body, the dead body, and then the water came out with spots of oil, and he told him, take this mayroon out of this person. He does not deserve my son's oil. You understand what that means, right? So there are eyes can see such things, but it's not revealed to everyone. You know what I mean? You understand what does this mean, right? Yeah, it does not deserve my son's oil because he denies Christ and he before he died. It's a glorification. What you guys and me have, it's something. We are glorified in a way. We have to understand this. Sometimes we underestimate ourselves because talking about repentance and we're suffering in this world a lot. Yes, a lot and a lot. But understand you're so valuable. you are so valuable in the eyes of Christ. Not because who you are, but because you is her child, his child and her child. You are born again from heaven. You have a spot in heaven. You do have a spot in heaven. So, does everyone who is baptized will be saved? No. Why? If even if I say that there is a spot for them in heaven, why not everyone is saved? Yes. So, what's our job? Just to keep this place. The place is there. Your spot is there. But our job is to keep it. You know what I mean? So, because the bad thing is, we can't, many people can't keep it because of what they do on earth. You know what I mean? So our job is to keep it. But we're on earth here through our deeds and so forth. To keep that spot for us. But anyone who's not baptized, this place doesn't exist for him or her. Huh? That's what the major difference, huge difference. Sanctification, illumination or enlightenment, as I said, God is able to give you a lot of things in your heart to see heavenly things. Lots of people come and say, I did hear the voice of God through the Bible, through a sermon, through anything. There is enlightenment. Our job is to keep it up, enlightening. And it takes a whole person's life. It's not something like black and white. No, it takes while. It takes a lot of effort. By baptism, you do not receive we do not receive Christians but Christ. That's one of the things said. We do not receive Christians but Christ. Christ-like. Every one of us has to be like Christ. That's our job, to keep ourselves Christ. As St. Paul in Galatians 3 said, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Understand? You're putting on Christ. لبسين المسيح الذين اعتمدوا المسيح قد لبسوا المسيح. Put on Christ. When we put these things in our minds, it makes us not to deal with the world as anyone else. Right? You're different. You're putting on Christ. Baptism by immersion. Somebody asked this question, right? Jennifer? Or who?
Yeah.
Okay. Some churches would just do sprinkle. Why we do say it has to be through immersion? Just three reasons. I mean, three out of others, probably. Baptism is burial with Christ. As St. Paul said in the Epistle of Colossians, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Burial. You cannot bury somebody unless you put this person. The mausoleum and stuff probably, they were known from the past, but as I know, as most of the people were buried inside, right? Buried with Christ. Inside, even in a mausoleum, you have to put the person inside, right? It's burial. It's death and resurrection. So in order for a person to die, have to go down and come back up. Another reason. In Matthew 3:16, it says about Jesus when he was baptized by John the Baptist, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. So that means he was inside the water. Right? And behold, the heaven were opened to him. He came from the water. He was inside. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, this is the story about Philip. So he commanded the chariot to stand up, to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Went down into the water. He could have just said, hold on, let me grab some water and sprinkled him, right? They went down into the water and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away. Agreed? Whoever asked the question. Got it? Okay. Rituals of the baptism. Possibly this is the last part. Ritual. I don't know if you have seen a baptism before or not, or if you haven't, possibly you would choose some time and try to be with Abuna in the upcoming baptism. It contains four major parts. It's more than this, but these are the major parts of the rites of baptism. Liturgy of baptism, woman's absolution, renouncing Satan and the holy baptism, and the fourth and last thing out of the major parts. As I said, there are more parts, but these are the major ones, the holy chrism. Four major parts. Yes. Very discussion question. Honestly, there is no solid reason. Different reasons based on the Old Testament that if a woman in the book of Leviticus, if a woman give birth to a child boy, she would stay 40 days, a child girl, she would stay for 80 days, and then would go and offer some sacrifices. So this is one. Second, another opinion say, because the baby girl needs more attention and more, they say this, I'm not a doctor, but it needs some extra care. So it's recommended for the mother to stay with the girl more days than the boy. Not solid. I'm not saying this is a truth thing, not really solid. But one thing I tell you, Saint Mary herself in Matthew chapter 2, she stayed for 40 days after she gave birth to Jesus to offer the sacrifice. But there is no solid reason. But these in normal circumstances. But in emergency circumstances, nothing exists. Like if the baby is 1 day old and in the hospital, we go and just even sprinkle water on the baby. And the issue is not with for the baby, boy or girl. It's because of the mom. I did hear something, but I cannot. I hear there is some talking about this. They may come up with something. But this has been old for old days. If something changes, it's not going to make a big change to us, or the church changed its ritual. It's not a major thing, in my eyes at least. Anyone wants to say anything about this? I know it's very discussion, but as I said, it's nothing solid. Nothing in dogmatic, nothing in theology, nothing all of the above. So these are the four main parts. If we just brief about some of them, liturgy of baptism, sanctification of the water is accomplished through the prayer of the gathered church, priest, deacon, and congregation. It sanctifies by the attendance of the three parties here, and also through the reading of the Word of God, the signs of the cross, and finally by pouring of the Mairun into the baptism of water. So the Holy Spirit dwells on the water, grants the baptized person a new nature. We're going to talk about oils. Okay. Saint Cyril said, resemble the baptism of water at the moment of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the bowl with
water which is placed on the fire so it gains heat. Likewise, the baptism of water gains the power and reflection of the Holy Spirit to be born of God and the church as a spiritual children. So baptism gives the person to be spiritually newborn. Liturgy of baptism. This is the whole liturgy. I don't know if you have attended any of these. Did it? You want to?
No, I was just going to ask. So then is there any water?
Yes. Yes, yes. I was going to say this. Coming up, correct? So this is a brief about each word, some of them, not everything. Renouncing Satan. So remember the four parts. First part was what? Liturgy of water. Second was? Renouncing and? Renouncing and Satan and holy baptism. Woman's absolution is just a regular absolution. We can give it like a regular absolution when a woman prays in any one of those. But it does have an extra thing where it has a purim and a it's like a prayer with the shuriyah, huh? So it has like an offering of incense. But some priests even give the absolution, just the normal absolution, the three absolutions, right? The third part, I should say, which is the renouncing Satan and the holy baptism. Renouncing Satan, as I said, facing the west. So if the baptized person is a baby, his mom will hold this baby on her arm and face the west and renounce Satan after Abuna. Says, I renounce you, Satan, and all your profane deeds and all your wicked angels and all your evil demons, all your power, all your abominable service. It's different than some other translations. All your evil traps and all your army and all your dominion and the rest of your deceit, I renounce you three times. I renounce you, I renounce you. I reject you. Because as I said, anybody comes from outside, it's part of the Satan world. So before we leave him, we say, I renounce you. If the baptized person is an adult, he or she would have to say this. Not because whoever is saying this is either the Ishbin, the godparent, or the person as himself or herself. If we have a wife and a husband who did not receive marriage from the Orthodox Church, and they have a baby and they will need to baptize this baby, yes, we can baptize him or her, but none of them can be a godparent. None of them. They have to find a godparent, because we cannot give a baby to a person who is not an Orthodox. You understand that? Okay. Any questions about this? Okay. So part of it is renouncing Satan, facing the west, and the other part is to face the east and confess Christ and reciting the Orthodox Creed. Facing the east, what he or she would say, I confess you, O Christ, my God, and all your redeeming laws, and in living service, and all your life-giving works. I believe in one God, the Father, the Pantocrator, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the life-giving Holy Spirit, and the resurrection of the body, and the one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. Amen. In this is a brief creed, even before the creed that we say nowadays. We believe in God. This is from the very first century. Huh? So it has like four, five or six parts. One of them some people don't even know about, that we do believe in the resurrection of the body. So our bodies would be resurrected. Our bodies, the flesh, but having another glorified body. Thank you. Some people don't even know about this. Why do we face the east? He who faces the east proves that he or she seeks the first heavenly life as it, the first paradise was planted by God, and the garden eastward, eastward in Eden, Genesis 2. Christ is the light that shone upon us, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. Arise from the east in Malachi. تشرق شمس البر والشفاء في أجنحتها. Any questions about this?
Almost done.
The oils. Baptism oils, three oils. We do have three oils in the church. The first one is the oil of catechumens or apocalypse or the simple oil, one of any these names. Pure olive oil, it helps the baptized to accept the word of God and understand the gospel and simply accept faith. الغالي لون, or the oil of gladness, called an anointment of joy, which helps the soul to rejoice in the word of God, the acceptance of faith and entry to the church community. As you see, it's called the oil of gladness. These two oils, the baptized person will receive before baptism. Before. But after baptism, the baptized person will receive, Abuna would anoint them with the holy chrism or the mayrun. The holy chrism or the mayrun is the seal of the Holy Spirit after baptism on the body. The senses, the joints, the hearts, and all the body organs are sanctified. The body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. These three types of oils are also poured in the water. Somebody was asking this. What? You may. Yeah. So they are poured in the water. So in the liturgy of water, they are poured in the water through the liturgy of the water. And also the baptized person received the three types of oils. As I said, the first two before baptism and the third one after baptism. 36 anointments. You know that, right? I don't know. I think that's it. Oh, the administered priest and the baptized person or grandparent must be fasting before the sacrament. Even a woman cannot use the oil of Mayrun unless he is fasting. 9 hours. Usually it's even after midnight. So we'll baptize in the morning. So as if he is taking communion. Yes.
Wait, so he's allowed to give it even if after he takes
communion? No.
So in our case, if we have the first liturgy and Abuna is doing it and there's a baptism there in the second.
Oh, yeah. Abuna, you're talking about Abuna.
Yes.
Because we do this the same way. But after I take communion, I don't drink water.
No.
Yeah, because usually even in our church that I have to help in the second and the third liturgy. We have three liturgies. So meanwhile, I can be baptizing and doing everything.
Okay.
The sacrament of baptism is generated only once in life to the believer in their entire life and cannot be repeated. It cannot be repeated, period. Baptism and holy chrism is not repeated even if a person denied Christ, even, and come back. It's once in life because it represents Christ who died for us once. Christ. So if I do this as if I'm crucifying Christ twice, and we can do that, right? So it cannot be done. I think this is it. Sure. Yeah.
Abuna, why can't we touch the water of the baptism? Although we have been baptized and
because it has my room. It has, even for myself, I wanted to tell you something. If I'm praying just to shorten the time for the, as I said, the holy water, my room, the liturgy of water.
Yeah?
The liturgy of water. I pray most of the liturgy of water at night. But when it comes to the part of my room, I can't do. So I postpone this to the following morning when I'm
fasting, so and I pour the mairun and do the rest of the prayers. So for anyone, it's out of respect. The mairun itself should not be touched other than clergy, period. Other than clergy. So even to your question, you take the Holy Communion, but you shouldn't touch it. Right? You shouldn't touch communion. For us, even deacons are not allowed to touch mairun. Just clergy have to be in the rank of a priest or a bishop. Because, as you know, in the past, the Holy Spirit was given just through the bishop. I think whoever is going to talk about the Holy Chrism or the mairun, the Holy Spirit was granted just by bishops or patriarchs. Just that.
By laying
of the hands. But right now, because of the number of people and all over the world, was permitted to priests to give it. But in our church, we do it by three things. We lay the hands, we say, and we breathe. The three ways. The three ways.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sure? Yes.
Why does there need to be like two steps for water and then you want to do oil? Even if you pour like the oil and the water too, like you said.
Oh. The oil and the water to give the water the ability to be able to give birth to the person who would be dipped in that person, in that water. So it gives the water the ability, the tool, because water is water. But when we pour and we pray and we have all the three types of, especially the mairun inside, it gives the water the ability. So it gives the new birth to the person who's coming inside. So the person is a new person now, a new child now, right? But in order for this person, he received or she received the new birth. But now we need to anoint him to protect him and all his body from the devils and to make this body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's you have a holy lecture about Chrism or you don't?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to just jump next week, all right? All right? So it's two different tools. A tool to give the ability to the world. This is one step, and the second is to give you the ability to be the temple of Christ.
I want to say that if you ever have to go like baptize somebody outside and out, like they don't have the capability of coming to the church, that he has like a little bottle of baptism water, and he's like, I have to pray on the baptism water. It's different than if he just like takes the water that's already inside the.
Like the basin,
sure.
It happened to me once when I heard there was a baby in a dangerous condition, so I just ran to the church and I found there was a bottle there, and water, we leave the water in the baptism.
Yes, yeah, so are you allowed to just take the water?
I took just a little water and went and just drank some of the water in the baby, because you know they are in the. What do you call that thing? And this is it. So, but
you don't have to do like a separate prayer.
No, it's because the water is there. It's already there with all the three types of oils. It has been prayed on and so forth. Possibly abuna means if there is no water in the baptism, okay. So he needs to do something quicker, probably. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a little different. But since the water is there.
So every time there's a baptism, you don't have to like.
Oh, by the way, thank you. There is a special prayer I didn't include that here. When I release the water, it's not just a release. There is a special prayer that I have to pray before it is released. I say, please God, make this water to go back to its nature. Please, khalas. You know what I mean? And then, I was praying in a different church this week, and I was a little worried because I never seen the baptism. There was a baptism,
And once I went there, I'm looking at it, and it's a good baptism, but it seems the water is not coming up. I'm like, something is not right. And I can't start praying until I'm 100% sure that it's not going through. Because if I do pray on it, and this water is going there, it's a problem on my side. I mean, consciously, I can't. You know what I mean? So I stopped every. I said, I can't pray. You have to tell me if this is going on. Is leaking or not? And thank God at the end they found it was like one of those knobs that they have to, but not from inside. So around the corner they have to close it, so it closed the baptism itself. So it has a special prayer. Thank you for asking this question. You have a question?
Why does the mom have to seek control?
This is the whole thing. This is the whole thing about the 80 and 40 days. So as I said, a baby can be baptized if he or she 5 days old. But the issue is mom, because she needs to take communion. So she has to stay 40 days for a boy, 80 days for a girl. So the issue is 40 days and 80 days is because not because of the born is we can't baptize the baby. It's because of the mom. You understand?
Yeah,
the issue is the mom, not who is the baby.
I think I heard something about it
takes however
amount of time for the mom's
family
to
be clean. Different reason, as I said, they are not very solid. It's discussion. But I mean, Pope Shenouda, when he was asked this question, he said, enough to know that Saint Mary waited for the law of 40 days. Nobody can talk about it, you know what I mean? This is the same many ways.
Do we believe in the validity of baptism of like other churches, such as the Eastern Church?
The what?
Like, is it valid?
It's valid for their churches. It's but very valid for the churches. It's valid for them, and they give communion according to it, and so forth, and so on. As I said, with the Eastern churches, they are close to us, but we're not in a full communion with them. So we do not take communion with them, and they can't take communion with us. They have, unfortunately, this is something not on a theological basis, to be honest, but on a dialogue basis and because of other things over the history. But I hope, I would like you to pray that we may become one church. At least we become. This is not very difficult. You know what I mean? It's difficult than Protestant, for example. It's very difficult. Catholic still difficult, but those are close to us.
I heard we're like really close.
Yes, but things are not easy as you think. That's a whole different course. that's a lot of things. I don't know everything about it, but there are, yes. Baptism? Anything? Okay. You ready for the quiz? I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.